If you have your Bibles, go and grab them and turn with me to Acts chapter 14. We're going to be in verses 24 to 28. If you don't have a Bible, the verses will be on the screen behind me in a moment. But today we're taking a break in our series in the book of Matthew to really just kind of push pause. Again, as we've been saying all morning, we're pushing pause to really be reminded of the things that God has done. I don't know how your life is, but so often I can just charge hard ahead without pausing to remember the work that God has done. And so this morning, we're going to do that. We're going to take some time in just a moment after we look at Acts 14 to really ask our missional communities, to the leaders, to come up and just share a bit about what God has been doing in their groups over the summer. If you're unfamiliar, missional communities are our way of gathering throughout the week. We gather to grow together as a family. We want to love one another like brothers and sisters in a good way. I know some of us don't have the best relationship with family, but in a good way, we want to serve one another. And we want to be sent by God to share with others the hope of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to do that today, where we're going to just hear about what God has done really rejoice in his work over this summer. Now, as we gather this morning, we're going to be in Acts 14, verses 24 to 28. And let me set it up this way. That'll really, I believe, kind of help us to understand, on the back end, understand what God is doing. And so a number of months ago, can't remember, maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, it was a Monday morning, and we were sitting at the breakfast table, and Mondays are my day off. Mondays are the day that everything else in the week gets thrown into Mondays. And so that's the day I do all of my yard work, I do all the cleaning outside, all the things I hate to do, but that's the day that I do it. And on this particular Monday, as a family, we're sitting around the breakfast table, and I was talking about the things that I was going to do that day. So I was talking about all the different household chores and cleaning outside that I was going to do. And I got up from the table, and I immediately went to the back door, and I started putting on my shoes. And immediately, I won't say who, but immediately, all of a sudden I hear this, brrr, boom. Are you going to fix? I'm like, what? Yeah, are you going to fix? It was one of my sons. He was coming, and before I could even answer his question, he already had his shoes on, and his face was beaming, because what he had deduced in that moment around the breakfast table is that Dad is talking about outside work, and we're going to fix something, and so I want to be there. And see, so he had two requirements. We're going to work on something, and Dad is going to be there. And if the answer is yes to both, I want to be there. I want to fix. I want to be a part of that. Now, parents, anyone have your kids help you fix? Oftentimes, you're fixing what they have broken, right? And yet, it was just enjoyable to see my son and his face light up, thinking that I get to go outside and be with my dad and spend time with my dad, even though he has no idea what he's doing. You know, it's not like I'm going to give my kids a circular saw and say, hey, go to town, cut these boards for me and bring it back to me, right? I mean, if they do that, I'm pretty sure their hand's going to be flopping around. We're going to be doing other things and fixing around the house, right? So it's not like they add anything to my fixing, but they just want to be with me. They just want to spend time in that moment, feeling like they played a part and feeling like they played a role in fixing. You know what? That's the exact same mentality, and that's the exact same, in a sense, equation that happens when we come to God our Father. You see, God is working in our world, and he doesn't need you or I to do anything. There's not a single thing in this world that God woke up and said, I need this person to do. Because he has all control. He is over all things. And guess what? He is inviting us in. He's inviting us in to fix with him, to be with him, to enjoy with him. And that's what we're going to rejoice in this morning. And that's what we're going to see in the book of Acts, is that we get We get this opportunity to be invited in to the work that our Heavenly Father is doing. He doesn't need us, and yet He graciously and generously invites us in so we can just spend time with our daddy, and we can just rejoice. I know so often we feel like doing activities for God, it just feels like performance and stuff that we have to do. And the reality is, again, church, God doesn't need us, but He's inviting us into His work so we can be with Him and get to know Him. That's what we see really is happening in Acts chapter 14 as we dive into that this morning. The kind of picture that we get here is that faithful workers follow the Father's footsteps. The Father does His work, and for us to be faithful isn't to try to match His work, to try to go beyond His work, but rather just to follow Him in His work and to be a part of what He is doing. And that's what we're going to look at this morning as we dive in. And so with that, let's go ahead and read Acts 14, verses 24 to 28. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how He had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained there no little time with the disciples. So a few months back, we started our summer back in May by, in a sense, commissioning our missional communities, these groups of people, and we were sending them out to be able to be a light to those around them and to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ to those around them. And we started by looking at Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. And if you flip back there, what you'll find in those few verses is that this church is gathering together for a prayer meeting, and God says, set aside Saul and Barnabas to go and preach the good news of Jesus to the whole Asia Minor, to present-day Turkey. And so what we find from Acts 13:3 to 14:24 is that they have gone throughout present-day Turkey, sharing the good news of Jesus, reaching people, starting churches, and now they are on the back end where they start to go back through all these churches, strengthening and encouraging them until they get back to the church at Antioch, the very church that sent them out. They get back there and they begin to tell the church there what God has done. And that's what we're going to see this morning as we dive in. We're going to see what God has done. And through that, we're going to see four things this morning. The first thing that we're going to see is that the Father protects His work. Look at me at verses 24 to 26. It says that they went through Pisidia and Pamphylia and Perga and Attalia, and then they went back to Antioch, where they had been commended for the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And so they traveled all throughout Asia Minor, through present-day Turkey, and now they're going back in this reverse pattern back to Antioch. They've been sharing the good news. People have been trusting in Jesus. They've been gathering those people in churches. They're encouraging these people. And now they're coming back to the place where they had been commended by the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. What in the world is Luke saying here? He's saying that through all of their travels and through all of their trials, because get this, church, if you look back to Acts 13 and Acts 14, not everything was rosy colored. So often we read the Bible and we think everything in the Bible is perfect, and our lives just don't match up. And yet in the midst of that, what we see is that as Saul and Barnabas were going around, some received it and some hated them so much that they stoned them with rocks, not the whatever. They stoned them with rocks and left them for dead. So it's not always easy. And yet they come back And they come back and they are saying, Luke is writing here, that they've been guided by the grace of God, that it was God's grace that has protected each step of the way. That even in the midst of persecution, God was working. And he was protecting his work, and he ensured that the work was fulfilled. And Luke doesn't want them nor us to forget about that. That ultimately it's the Father that protects the work. We can do all of these things. We can plan all of these things. But if the Father, if God the Father doesn't go before us, it's in vain. He has to protect the work. And then we see that the Father proclaims his word. He protects his work, but he also proclaims his word. Look at verse 27. Luke writes that they gathered back in Antioch, and as they gathered, they declared all that God had done with them and how he opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. So think about what he's saying here. Okay, so the Gentiles were non-Jews. They were the people that anybody who is Jewish looked down upon, because the Jews were the people of God. And yet when Jesus Christ comes, all of that changes, to the point that if you trust in Jesus Christ, you can become part of the people of God. And so as they are going out and sharing the good news with all of these Gentiles, and people are coming to faith in Christ. And Luke says, sure, Saul and Barnabas did the physical fleshly work, but it was ultimately God who spoke through them. It was ultimately God who spoke his word. It wasn't Saul and Barnabas. It was God that did the work. That's incredibly encouraging, isn't it? You ever feel like you have done all that you could and this other person just doesn't want anything to do with the word of Jesus Christ? It's because God has to do the work. God has to proclaim his word, and that's what they're celebrating. They're celebrating the fact that God has used them, that they are simply being vessels to proclaim the truth and salvation through Jesus Christ alone. And so Luke wants us to not focus on what they did and not focus on what we have done, not brag about what we have done, but actually brag about what God has done. Brag about what the Father has been able to accomplish, and that the Father is working. We need to be faithful, but we need to trust the Father to work in our lives. And the third thing that we see here is that the Father provides for worship. So he protects his work. He guarded them in the midst of persecution. He actually proclaimed his word where people came to faith in the midst of that. But then he also provided for worship. Again, look at verse 27 again. It says that they went to the Gentiles. They went to a people group who wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Just a few chapters before this, in Acts chapter 10, we see Peter is called or summoned by a Roman soldier, sending his soldiers under him to go and get Peter from Joppa and bring him over to the city of Caesarea. And as Peter reaches the house, the door opens and he sees a house full of Romans, full of Gentiles, people who are not clean, people who are not on the same level as the Jews in their mind. And he walks in and he says, you all know I shouldn't be here. You all know, according to God's word, according to the Old Testament, I am up here and you are down here, and I should not be here, but I figured it out. God has shown me that through Jesus Christ, we're all on the same level. We're all on the same level. And so what happens is that Peter recognizes that God desires worship, not just from the Jews, but he desires worship from all peoples. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that all of us, any of us who is a non-Jew, was far away from God, wanting nothing to do with God, when God came and rescued us and brought us near. Church, do you understand that? Do you get that reality that we wanted nothing to do with God? We were far from God, and God ran after us and drew us in and drew us back because he wanted worship from us. That's exactly what we see here as they start these churches. He is providing for his worship. And so as we talk about what God has done for this summer, we want to remind ourselves that we didn't open any doors. In fact, we can't open doors for the gospel. It's only God that can open the door. It's only God that can work. We can't change the hearts of our cities. Only God can do that. And only God will do that for his worship and for his glory and for his praise, not for ours. Not so that we can feel better about ourselves, but it's ultimately all upon him for him to do that work. And I don't know about you, that's a huge stress relief. That's a huge stress relief because I read the Bible where it tells me to go and tell others about Jesus, and I can throw all this weight on me and this pressure that I have to somehow do something, perform something. And right here we just see that ultimately God's the one that does it. God is the one that provides for the worship. He's the one that draws people out and is producing life in them. And that leads us to the last thing, and that is that we see followers fellowship over what the Father is doing. Followers of Jesus Christ, as we gather together, we fellowship over what the Father's doing. Look at me at verse 28 here. We read that they remained there with the disciples in Antioch. And why is that? Because they were busy sharing the stories over what God had done. They were there swapping stories about how God was working and how God was moving. And as they gathered, as they did that, they gathered the church together. Think about it. It wasn't just the people who went out that swapped stories. It was the whole church because everyone had skin in the game. The church had to give up some of their best. They gave up money. They wanted to hear what God had done. They wanted to know what had happened. Any of you parents, you know, you spent 18 years raising your kid. They graduate high school. Has this happened to you? Okay, now that you've graduated high school, I don't ever want to hear from you again. Go to college. Have fun. I hope you succeed. Don't ever want to hear from you. I'm done. Like, I'm not angry. I'm just done. Like, my role is gone. Any of you parents, like, that's what I'm signing up for. Why? Because you have skin in the game. You're like, I got you 18 years. I want to see how you do the next 30 or 40, Lord willing. Like, I have skin in the game. I did something here. That's what the church is doing here. They've got skin in the game. They want to know, what has God done? Let's rejoice together. Let's praise him for what he has allowed you to accomplish. And so they gather together. And church, imagine how our fellowship times, imagine how our Sunday mornings, imagine how our missional communities would be if they were peppered with us talking about what God is doing in and through our lives. Imagine the kind of community we would be, the kind of church community we would be, and the kind of transformation we would see seep into the greater community around us if every single time we gathered, we reminded each other about what God is doing. Any of you spend more than 5 seconds in Sunbury other than driving to church or missional community? Maybe this is going to ruffle some feathers, but in my opinion, if you spend more than 5 seconds in this community, you're going to hear a bunch of negativity. It's just reality. But imagine the kind of community that it would be if we started and we had, every time we gathered, we reminded each other about what God has done. I can't help but to hope that that would seep into the rest of the community and we would begin to have hope once again. And so as we gather this morning, that's exactly what we want to do. we want to start with this morning. Because I don't know about you, I'm horrible at this. Something gets done, I'm already thinking about the next thing. I don't care if I won. I don't care if I won like Penn State, you know, 72-point win. I don't care about any of that. I'm already on to the next opponent, the next thing. And yet I want us to learn the art of just stopping and celebrating what God has done. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take some time as a church gathering together to fellowship over what God has done. And so we're going to invite each of our missional community leaders up to just share a bit about what God has done. And so to start, we're going to invite Josh Laubaugh. He leads the missional community that meets over in Northumberland. And this year, they kind of transitioned to begin to meet over there. And as they did, they started to reach out to their neighborhood there. And so Josh is going to share just a bit about what God has done.
Yeah, so we're over in Northumberland, and we had 3 outreach picnics at our house. The first one was the block party where, the traffic is, and construction is awful, so they had closed our street. So we used the closed street and set a big tent in the middle of it and invited people over. That was Memorial Day weekend, and we had like 30 people came to that, which was awesome. And then we had a planned event for worship night. They do concerts in the park in Northumberland. And so our worship group was going to go and sing there. And then it rained, so it got canceled in June. And we did that a couple weeks ago. And a few people came to that. That's something we're going to have to think about. I'm not sure. I think we put a lot of effort into that. And I still have a lot of popsicles in my freezer. So something to think about, you know, if we're going to continue to do that. Maybe it's something we can build upon. We had 2 other outreach picnics at our house at different times. All told, we've had 75 people who have come to our home because we've invited them outside of our missional community group, which is awesome. If I'm going to throw out something that we're praying about, 2 of them came more than once. So 75 people who came one time, even though we re-invited them to come. And so that's hard to, you know, our whole point of the outreaches is to get to know people, to build relationships. And it was a lot of people that we saw, but not a lot of maybe sustained discussion in that area. So we have some things we're praying about, some people that we're hoping to talk to. We've had a couple people who have seemed interested in checking out the church. We've had 1 couple who came. That's great. Those are all good things, but it's been really weird. There just hasn't been a lot of the block party was a lot of local people. Really, our community came, our neighborhood. The second one, there was a lot of family that showed up. We have some family in Northumberland, and they came. That was great. And then the third one, Ange invited every person she's ever seen at the YMCA, and half of them came. It was awesome and great, and they all rolled in. This was in addition to inviting others. So we've realized that we can invite people and we can get people to come to our home. And if I have one thing I want to praise God for, it's that I've seen some people in our missional community really grow in being open in conversation. Some of the first picnics, it was a lot of seclusion, some people hiding in the corner, not wanting to talk, and a lot of me running around trying to talk to people. And this last one, I felt like there was a lot of people just really engaging in conversation, and that's great. So we're seeing growth there even in our missional community. So I'm not sure what God's going to do with this, but he's given us a whole lot of people to have, we have contact with. I now bump into people that I didn't know before that I've met, which is great. And we started small relationships, and those things are all very good. So if you're praying for us, I would say to pray that some of these, even a couple of these new introductions, will grow into something that we can pour into and help cultivate.
Let's take a moment just to praise God, because if you think about it, it's been 3 years for this missional community in the works of really trying to reach out, and I know some of us are just incredibly terrified to talk to new people, and 3 years in the making, and now the Lord is opening up doors, so let's praise the Lord for that. Father, we're grateful for the work that you've done this summer. through this missional community that meets at Josh's house. We're grateful for the 75 people that showed up to different events. Lord, we know that each of those 75 people have a story, have a soul, that you care for them. And we want to be vessels pointing them back to hope and joy and peace that's found in you. And so we pray for this missional community, for wisdom as they think about and process how to connect with people more this fall and point them back to the hope that they have in you, Father. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Great. We're going to hear next from the missional community that Dave Moyer leads. They had started you can go ahead and come on up. They had started kind of a focus a bit on the beginning of the year on the Packer Hill neighborhood. We're going to hear a bit from them.
So it was good to hear the sermon today and to know that it's God who does the work. And that's an encouragement for me, because sometimes I feel like it's me that has to do all those things and our group that has to do all those things. So what a blessing to know that it's God who's working behind the scenes there. We talk about our identity in Christ when we become a believer as a family. We talk about it as a missionary and as a servant. We see it over here on our banner. And I think that this summer, I just want to acknowledge we had challenges getting together. I don't know if everyone else felt like their summer was crazy busy, or it rained certain times, or people got sick, or they had work things. And we just had a challenge getting everybody in our missional community together to even have our normal missional community meeting, let alone having some outreaches. So we just want to recognize God puts us through some tough times, some struggles, some discouragement. I think a lot of people felt that this summer. And we've sort of been able to, as Derek would say, hit that reset button. You know, within the last 2 weeks, I've been able to really kind of wrap our arms around each other and kind of almost like a football huddle up and say, what do we want to do? What do we want to commit to together? And we made a big list of the things that we all wanted to do, what we could agree on, and how we're going to push out here in the early fall. And so we're excited. We're going to have a barbecue or a picnic outreach on September 14th. And we're just going to try and invite every single person that we can think of to. We made a list of people. We're starting to pray for those people that God will work in their heart to bring them, because we know that we can't make them come. Only God can do that. Hoping to even step it up a little, have a volleyball net in addition to the normal cornhole boards that we have. And so, yeah. So we're excited for what's going to happen here in the fall. But I just want to praise God for the way that I feel like our group has really become a little tighter knit family. But within that tighter knit, we're just hoping that as we work together, we'll be able to push out a little bit more into the community. And so we know that God has a plan, and we're just looking forward to seeing what he's doing. I know that the Bible talks a lot about being an athlete and running the race towards the prize, or being a farmer or a soldier, and those things are all hard. And we just want to continue to press on towards the goal and to win that prize. And so that's what we're looking forward to here in the fall.
Great. Well, let's pray for them as they think about the fall, and even just praise the Lord. So many times, I think in the Christian world, if we're not careful, we can tell wonderful stories and act as if everything is rosy all the time. And the reality is that sometimes God brings us through difficult seasons, and we need to learn the art of perseverance and the art of loving Jesus in the midst of hard times, just like Paul did. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to work. Father, we thank you for this missional community. We thank you for their perseverance this summer. God, to just keep pressing and keep seeking you and even trying to use the remainder of good weather to reach out to see other people come to know you and trust you. And so, Lord, we just pray as they have an upcoming outreach, we ask that you would work. We ask that you'd bring people who want to know you and want to know more about the truths of the gospel, and that you would empower this group to love them well and help them to see hope that is found in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray these things in your son's name. Amen. The next group is a group that I actually lead over on 9th Street, so only a couple blocks from here. And this summer, we kind of had a hectic summer and just felt like Really, the whole summer was a sprint, but Lord willing, we were able to have a couple of different connection points with neighbors. In May, we had an early kind of a picnic in our backyard, and we saw the Lord just bring a ton of people, which was good. Sometimes a lot of people is a good thing to connect, but sometimes less people is even better to go deeper in relationship. And so that time in May was just great to connect with a lot of people and really form relationships. And then the last two, we had a few less people, which really allowed us to dive deeper into conversation and dive deeper into relationship. And actually through that, the Lord has already been opening up doors where one of our neighbors has started to come semi-regularly here on Sunday mornings, and we've been able to build a relationship with her, and she's begun to even invite her parents to some things that we've done. And so we're just incredibly excited for what God is doing and just hopeful that he's going to continue to build upon that. And so let me pray for that missional community as well. Father, we're grateful for this summer to connect with neighbors and to even see some neighbors press in a little bit more, to be more open, to want to form deeper relationships. And Father, we just pray. We pray that you would encourage the missional community that I lead. I pray that you'd encourage that, that you'd help us to just continue to press and to persevere when things get difficult. But I also pray that we would now have wisdom as we turn to the fall on how to connect people from the summer and connect deeper in relationship before winter. Father, we pray. Lord, we need you to open doors, and we ask that you would do that. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen. Next group we want to hear from is the group that meets over on Market Hill area, led by Dave Newberry. And so if you want to come on up and share a bit about what God's been doing through the group there.
So our summer started out pretty, I guess, disordered. We had our first event, and it just downpoured. So we had 35, 40 people crammed on our deck, and I'm just praying that it holds in the midst of all the rain. We started out with having a campfire, a hot dog roast, inviting the neighbors, friends. Our second event, which came with oppressive heat, we had a barbecue scheduled. So what we did is we said, oh, let's make it an ice cream social. So everybody brought ice cream and their favorite toppings, and we gathered mid-July, I guess, during that heat wave that we had. And then we wrapped up our season last night with a movie night, which seemed to be successful. We had some new neighbors come into the neighborhood, and our missional community reached out to them by putting together a welcome basket. So we provided a welcome basket to them and seemed to make a great connection through that. So God used that opportunity to get to know them and build this relationship. So they were new to our neighborhood, so they were in attendance last night, which was fantastic. We have also made a connection with some neighbors at the end of our, I guess it's an alley street, that have come to the second one this year as well. So that was encouragement. Our missional community has been growing, God's been working in all of our lives, and it's so evident each and every week that we meet. Our next event, and I'm hoping this is our biggest one for you Penn State fans, we're going to do a tailgate outreach in our driveway backyard for the Michigan-Penn State game. So we're hoping that really rallies some other people as well. Josh is shaking his head because he's an Ohio State fan. But that's okay. Love you, buddy. So we're hoping that we're going to try to continue throughout the year, not just over the summer, but over Christmas time, our missional community. We usually host, as a family, our ugly sweater Christmas party. But I think this year we're going to take it as a missional community and make it an outreach as well. So hopefully continue some of these things over the year, and hopefully God, well, I'm sure God will work through those and help us to bring in new people and reach them.
Hopefully Penn State won't bully the next team as much as they did
last
night.
That's the Michigan game, so who knows at this point.
Yeah, well, they'll lose. Let me pray, as I just made that comment. Let me pray for this missional community. Just pray that God would continue to build relationships with new neighbors as they've had a ton of transition in their neighborhood. Father, we're grateful for this missional community that's meeting at Dave's house. We're grateful for the growth that you've had in their lives. We're grateful for even people who've come and connected and new neighbors and friends from schools. And we're grateful that you are bringing people in. And we just pray that as they continue to figure out ways to connect with people, not just at an outreach, but also throughout the week, to go deeper in relationship. We pray that you would give open doors. We pray that you give wisdom. And we pray that even the next event that they have would be an awesome opportunity to have depth of conversation as they enjoy football. Father, we pray that you would work in mighty ways. In your son's name, amen. The last one that we're going to hear from is Roger Canals. Him and his wife are actually part of another missional community being trained, if you remember. They're being trained to, Lord willing, in the next year or two, to start a missional community in their neighborhood. And they've just been faithful at persevering through really a hard last 4 or 5 months. And so we're going to hear from them a bit.
I think the last time we stood up here, we actually had a couple from our community here in our church that was part of our first group or first gathering here, or gathering in our home. Since then, I think we have kind of sparked them to get back into their relationship with the Lord. So they have been attending a church. Don't know too much about it, but I think that was just a spark for them. The other thing that we had a campfire this summer. We had about 15 people from our neighborhoods come, and we did want to have a community picnic this summer, but that fell through because of circumstances with my mom and tied us down with her so much, so we had to forego that. We do have an activity that we're talking about here in the fall with the community, but one thing I tell you what it does do to you, it helps you be more sensitive when you see your neighbors out in the community. And I appreciate some of the things that I have already said. When you see them and it develops a little relationship, you can say hi and start up a little conversation with them that you didn't have before. So that's one of the benefits that I've noticed and experienced in my own life, that it just makes you more sensitive to people. The other thing it has done is, this the other night Sherry and I were taking a walk, and we got stopped and talking to one of our neighbors, and then his wife stopped, and we got talking to them, and then another neighbor stopped, and we got talking to them. So it was neat to see that we can stand there and talk to our neighbors and develop a relationship with them. So I just pray that you continue to work with us, that the Lord would open up the more doors of opportunity and to be able to share with our neighbors.
Let's pray for Roger and Sherry as they continue to reach out to their neighbors. You know, we live in a time in which grassroots things are what really start and what really spread. And what we're finding is that when we start grassroots things in our neighborhoods, we not only see people come to know the truth of Jesus Christ, but we actually see our neighborhoods get better. Our community has a bad name, bad reputation. We're seeing some of that changed by neighbors getting to know each other and starting to police their blocks together and loving and caring for one another. And that's how we're going to see our city transformed, by embracing those that are around us. And so let's pray for Roger and Sherry as they continue to do that. Father, we're grateful for Roger and Sherry, and through the midst of his mom's health deteriorating and struggles there, that they have persevered and continued to be out meeting people where they're at, loving people, caring for people. We are so thankful for what you've done there. And we just ask as they think about the fall as well, Lord, that you would allow them to have open opportunities to encourage those who are hurting, to be a good friend to those who are lonely, and to point people back to hope in the treasure that you are, Jesus. We pray for them. In your son's precious name, amen. Church, it's just a good moment in our lives to just be able to push pause and to say, yeah, things don't always come out polished like Hollywood. Things don't always come out amazing like the latest movie, but God is working. And oftentimes, as we saw last week, God works through broken vessels and using us as the broken vessels to put us together into this beautiful mosaic, this beautiful picture that will ultimately bring him glory and bring him praise. And that's what we want to keep doing as we now transition to the fall. We want to keep pressing. We want to keep asking and pleading that God would work. And so let me pray as we move into our time of offering. Father, we are grateful for this morning that we just got to hear what you've done over the summer. We are so thankful that you are working and that you're moving and that you are expanding your kingdom. And we pray that we would be a part of that. Father, we want to just hang out with our daddy and do the work that you're doing. And so, Father, would you move in incredible ways? Thank you that you've allowed us to be a part of the work that you have done. We pray these things in your son's precious name. Amen.